text for the sermon this morning is found in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Bondservants, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are either a slave of sin, of death, and the devil, or else you are the slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed you from all the power of the devil and from sin and everlasting death by his sacrifice of himself and his death on the cross. If you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from God's just wrath and curse due to you for your sin, then you are the bond servant or the slave of Jesus Christ. You belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, with both body and soul in both life and death. The Holy Spirit does not call us to leave our jobs and positions and duties in order to serve Him. He does not call us to stop being husbands or wives, parents or children, masters or servants. He does not call us to live in a secluded monastery or convent. There is no hint of that in our text. But rather, our Savior, Jesus Christ, commands us to continue in our trade, our profession, our calling, our office, our responsibility, and to serve the Lord, not men. And each verse in our text mentions this. In verse 5, the Lord says we are to do our work as to Christ Himself, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart. In verse 6, the Lord says, do the will of God from the heart, not to please men, but as slaves of Christ. In verse 7, the Lord says, serve with good will as to the Lord and not to men. In verse 8, the Lord says, the Lord Himself will reward you. This is the practical beauty of our holy faith. When Jesus Christ sets a man free from slavery to the devil, he sends him home to bless his family and his neighbors by telling them what great things God has done for him. God's grace does not transplant the tree, but God's grace makes the tree bring forth good fruit right where it is. True religion distinguishes us from others, even as our Lord Jesus Christ was separate from sinners, but it does not shut us up from our fellow man. No, the Lord Jesus sends us forth into this world as salt and as light for the salvation and the good of our fellow man. God's grace makes us His servants while we are still servants of men. It enables us to do the business of heaven while we are attending to the business of earth. It sanctifies the common tasks and duties of life by showing us how to perform them to the glory of our God. The love of Jesus Christ makes the lowliest acts sublime. As the rays of the sunlight brighten the landscape, and shed beauty over the most common scenery, so does the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our text in Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8, God calls every Christian, every believer, whether rich or poor, whether slave or free, to live every moment of every day unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who made us and who has redeemed us from all the power of the devil, and who so preserves us that not even one hair can fall from our head without the will of our Father in heaven. Yes, that all things must work together for our salvation. By His Holy Spirit, He assures us of eternal life, and He makes us heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. And this influences our work. It also elevates our spirit, our attitude concerning our work. And thirdly, this is only what the Lord has a right to expect, and it is what we owe to Him. First of all, to live and to die to the Lord Jesus Christ greatly influences all our work. If your whole life is serving the Lord, then you must live with a single eye to His glory. To live to the Lord requires us to live completely to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most engrossing master. He requires all our attention. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will love the one and hate the other." That is true. Jesus Christ will have everything or nothing. If indeed He is our Lord, He must be our only sovereign, for He will not tolerate any other god or any rival. We must live for Jesus Christ and for Him alone. If you divide your heart, if you divide your life, you will be a failure. You cannot follow two contrary objectives and hope to secure either one of them. A servant of Jesus Christ must set all his affection on things that are above, not on things on the earth. His heart must not be divided. It is not possible to serve the King of Kings and the world, or the flesh or the devil at the same time. We have no wish, no desire, no ambition, no exertion to give to a rival Lord. Serving Jesus demands and deserves all our heart, all our mind, all our life must be spent serving the Lord. This is not too much for our great Lord to expect from those for whom He has given His own life. To whom should I give a part of myself? Lord, You have redeemed me, both body and soul, and I belong to You. Take full possession of me. Who else can be worthy of my heart? Who else can have a right to set foot within the province where You are King? Lord, You rule alone in my life, in my mind, and in my heart, as You alone have redeemed me. For You alone tread the winepress of God's wrath for me, and therefore You shall be sole Lord of my soul. You are all my salvation. You are all my desire. And therefore You shall have all my worship and all my service. With such a Lord to serve, we must live in order that He may have all and none may be wasted. To serve the Lord, we must live with holy carefulness. We're to serve the Lord with fear and trembling. We must be careful to do our very best, and we should desire with all of our heart to please Him in all things. It takes all our thought, all our effort, all our watchfulness, all our care. We are serving God who is holy, holy, holy. We must have deep reverence for God and take care how we worship and serve Him. Jesus served His Father with great care and with constancy. He never lived a careless hour. He never spoke an idle word. He lived a careful life. At night He poured out His heart in prayer unto God, His Father. It is a great mistake. And it is a great insult to God to live carelessly and to give Him whatever we can spare. We have a very low idea of His infinite majesty if we think that we can honor the Lord by serving Him half-heartedly or in a careless, casual way. No, if you will live as to the Lord and not unto men, you must watch every motion of your heart and of your life. Living to the Lord means living with a focused spirit and living with earnest care that our service to Him is the best that we can give. How poor our best is. Truly, when we have done all, we are unprofitable servants. In addition, to serve the Lord means to worship Him and work for Him with all our heart. Our text says, in sincerity of heart, doing the will of God from the heart. Our work for the Lord Jesus Christ must be the outgrowth of the soil of our heart. Our work for Jesus Christ must be that which comes from our very inmost being. Our service must not be performed as a matter of routine. There must be vigor. There must be power. There must be freshness. There must be reality and eagerness and warmth about it, or it will be good for nothing. The Lord does not want your dead, heartless worship or service. We must put all of our heart into all that we do. Not just have a few thoughts of Christ on occasion, and a few spare words here and there, and a few accidental gifts sometimes, and a little done by way of play. No, as the heart beats, so we must serve God. It must be our very life. We cannot have a few spare thoughts for Christ while we are engrossed and enraptured with self and with the world and with its gains and with its pleasures. Christ is a jealous husband. He will not tolerate a stray thought of love elsewhere. He will not tolerate that those who call themselves His beloved should love others more than they love Him. Christ will not permit such impurity of heart. We may not claim to be His if we give Him only lip service or only brain service or only hand service. He must have the heart and all that we are and have. Our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, did not spare His heart from agony for us on our behalf. He shed His life's blood for our poor unworthy sakes. He does not want lifeless forms and cold pretenses from us. There was no hypocrisy in Jesus' life. The zeal of His Father's house ate Him up. Let us live as He lived. Our soul must overflow with love and zeal for Jesus Christ our Lord. We should have vehement longings for Jesus and intense yearnings for His glory. Our heart must be a burning flame for Jesus Christ. Verse 6 in our text says we must do the will of God from the heart. Some people's religion is only another way of doing their own will. They pick and choose what precepts they will keep and what they will neglect or ignore. They choose what doctrines they shall believe and what doctrines they shall reject. Their spirit is not bowed into holy, obedient service to Christ, but it takes license to act according to its own will and its own pleasure. The freedom of a Christian lies in absolute slavery to Jesus Christ. We never become truly free until every thought is brought into captivity to the will of our faithful God and Savior Jesus Christ. I no longer have any right to say I will do this or I will do that, but I must ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? It is useless to say, I shall live as to the Lord and not to men, when all the time we intend to live our own way. Who is our master? Self or Christ? On every point, this question must be settled. For if on any point we are the master, we reject the rule of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ must rule us in both heart and life. It is mocking Christ to call him master and Lord, but not do the things that he commands. A Christian knows that God sees him all the time. He always lives before God's face. He always works beneath the eyes of God. God hears each word. He understands each thought. God hears each word I speak to you from this pulpit. He reads my soul as I address you in his holy name. And therefore I must preach in a way that pleases him. We must teach, we must live, we must do everything to please the Lord, not men. You, God, see me. We should declare, I have set the Lord always before me. We must look to the Lord for our reward and not to men. Moses looked to God's reward, not the reward of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Jesus looked to the eternal reward from his heavenly Father and went to the cross in our place. Eternal life with Jesus Christ will make up for a lifetime of persecution. One smile from the Lord himself will repay us 1,000 times over for all the disappointments and discouragements of serving Jesus Christ in this fallen and sinful world in which we live. If we live as to the Lord and not to men, our very work will be shaped and fashioned most wonderfully by God and his word, by our master Jesus Christ. In the second place, to live to Christ the Lord will greatly elevate our minds. It will elevate our spirits. And the first way it will do this is by lifting us above all complaining about how hard our lot in life is, or how difficult our service is to Jesus Christ. People often complain, it's too hard, I'm worn out, I cannot keep doing this, nobody could bear my burden any longer. My wife is so stubborn. My husband is so cruel. My friends are so unkind. My children are so unthankful. My neighbor is so mean. My boss is so uncaring. Brothers and sisters, be of good courage. Look at your life in a different light. If the burden is to be borne for Jesus' sake, who loved you and gave himself on the cross for you, by whose precious blood you are redeemed from all the power of the devil and from everlasting slavery to sin and death and from the pains of hell itself, can you not bear the burden that he has laid upon you as his servant? You can do anything, and you can bear anything for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, renounce pleasure for the good of others. Deny yourself and take up your cross. Suffer even if you could avoid it. Labor even when you could rest. When God's glory demands suffering or labor for Christ. Have not I set you an example? What does the scripture say? Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. He stripped himself of all things that he might clothe us with his own glory, with his own righteousness. Beloved brothers and sisters, when we heartily serve Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit working in and through us, then murmuring and complaining and weariness and fainting of heart are altogether gone. And next, serving Christ with all of our heart lifts the Christian above the spirit of laziness. Many people think of how little they can possibly do to earn their wages or to accomplish their task and responsibility. The question with them is not how much can we give, but how little can we give? How little work can we do without being fired? Many people say we must not do all the work today, for we need some work left to do tomorrow. Christians cannot think that way. Christians cannot serve the Lord Jesus Christ that way. We do not calculate how much ointment we have or how much ointment is enough to anoint the feet of our Savior Jesus Christ. But we give him all that our box, all that our vessel contains. Christ's servants delight to give so much to him that other people think they are wasteful. For they feel that when they have given him everything they have, they've begun only to show him the love of their hearts for his dear and holy name. Other people think they've been extravagant. They've been wasteful, but they know they've only begun to give him the love God has put in their hearts for him. Living for Jesus Christ and not for men raises us up above all boasting about our work. When we serve Jesus Christ, is anything that we have done good enough for him? If our zeal knew no respite, if our prayers knew no pause, if our efforts knew no relaxation, if we gave all we have of time and of wealth and of talent and of opportunity, if we should die a martyr's death 1,000 times, wouldn't Jesus Christ, the best and most beloved of our souls, deserve far more? Oh, that we could give him even more. And therefore, congratulating ourselves is far from us. When you have done all that you can for Jesus Christ, you will feel that it is not worthy of the matchless merit of Jesus, and you will be humbled at the thought of serving him. And thus, while doing all for Jesus stimulates zeal, it fosters humility. The resolve to do all as unto the Lord will elevate you above craving for recognition. It is the sad fault of many Christians that they cannot do anything unless all the world is told about it. Unless everyone knows. The servant of Jesus Christ will say, I do not need recognition from men. I do not need anyone to know. I did it for my Savior. I did it for my Redeemer. I did it for my Master. I did it for my Lord. I did it for my God. He noticed me, and I am content. I tried to please Him, and by His grace I did please Him, and therefore I ask no more. For I have achieved my purpose. I do not seek any praise from men, for I fear lest the breath of human praise should tarnish the pure silver of my service to Jesus Christ. Serving Jesus Christ will also lift you up above the discouragement from human criticism. If you seek the praise of men, you will most likely fail in the present, and you will certainly lose the praise of men in the future, sooner or later. Many people are more ready to criticize you than they are to commend you. And to hope for praise from men is a vain hope. How little we should care about the opinions and the criticisms of our fellow man when we remember that Jesus Christ, who made us what we are and who helps us by His grace to do what He calls us to do, will not judge us as men so often judge us, but will accept us according to the sincerity of our hearts. If we feel I was not working for you, I was working for the Lord, my God, and my blessed and glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, we will not be wounded by our neighbor's criticism, by their lack of thanks. Serving Jesus Christ will also lift you up above the disappointments of failures. Yes, even the saddest kind of disappointment. If you do your work to please Jesus Christ, He is pleased with your faithfulness even when it does not produce the result and the success that you desire. Sincere, faithful obedience from the heart pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. He delights in it, even if it leads to no apparent results. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ also lifts us up above disappointment as we face death. Soon, God will call us from our work and from this life. But the truth is that if we live for Jesus Christ, then to die is gain. And we go on with our work forever. If our work is to please and honor and worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall please the Lord Jesus in heaven better than we ever can do here on earth. And if our work here on earth seems to end as far as man is concerned, when we die, we have done it all unto the Lord, and He has the record of it in heaven, and therefore none of the work that we have done is in vain, and none of it is lost. Nothing that is done for the Lord Jesus Christ will ever be destroyed. The work and its place may pass away, but the glory which it brought to our Savior Jesus Christ shines as the stars forever and ever. Serving our Savior Jesus Christ also lifts us up above the infirmities which come to us as we grow old. As we become older, we can do less. But the little that we can do, we do all the more thoroughly for our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, and our blessed Lord. As we grow in experience, as we grow in maturity, as we grow in love and submission and humility and obedience to our Savior, Jesus Christ, we serve Him all the more thoroughly, even as we do less. Even as our life shrinks, as what we can do decreases, our love, our motivation only intensifies. If we are living unto Jesus Christ, we love Him even when our heart grows cold to the things of this life. When the eye grows dim toward the things that are here on earth, they brighten toward the things of heaven. When the ear can hardly hear the voices of men, it still knows the music of the name of Christ. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ ennobles all of our service beyond anything that we could imagine. Think about it. Think of working for Jesus Christ, for Him, the best of masters, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the Creator of the ends of the earth, before whom angels counted glory to bow. To whom it is an honor for angels to serve. Work done for Jesus Christ is in itself the best work that can be done. For all that pleases God must be pure and lovely. It must be honest and of good report. Work done for our eternal Father in heaven, work done for our Savior Jesus Christ, is work that is good and only good. To live for Jesus Christ is to have the greatest and the most noble of motives. To live for the incarnate God, the Son of God, come in the flesh, is to blend the love of God and the love of men into one holy passion. To live for the ever-living and reigning Jesus Christ is to lift up your soul, for the result of your service and your worship to Him will endure forever. When all other work is dissolved, this shall abide and remain for all eternity. We serve God for eternity. And soon all men shall behold the nobility of serving the King, Jesus Christ. For it will bring with it the most blessed of all rewards. Rewards that can never be matched by any earthly reward. And the Lord promises that He will not forsake His people. No man has ever regretted what he did for Jesus, except that he may regret that he has not done 10 times more for Jesus Christ. The Lord will not leave His old servants. O Lord, You have taught me from my youth, and up till now I have declared Your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, the psalmist said. And this is the confidence of every servant of Jesus Christ. He may go to the grave untroubled, confident that Jesus will say to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the eternal joy of your Lord." In the third place, if from now on we live only for Jesus Christ, so as never to know pleasure apart from Him, nor to have treasure outside of Him, nor honor but in His honor, nor success but in the progress of His kingdom, we shall even then have done no more than He deserves at our hands. For first of all, He made us. We are His creatures. For whom should a creature live but for his Creator? And secondly, we are His new creations in Christ Jesus. We have been born again from above by the power of His Holy Spirit. Should we not live for Him by whom we have been begotten to an everlasting hope and to an everlasting glory? As many as have believed in Jesus Christ are begotten again by the power of God, the same power that raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Shall we not live in newness of life? God has made a new heaven and a new earth for us to dwell in. Whom should we serve with all of our heart and all of our mind, with all of our soul and all of our life, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, who has made us new by His Holy Spirit? He has redeemed us from sin and from death. We are not our own, for we have been bought with a price. We dare not live for self. We dare not be selfish. We may not put ourselves in opposition to God. We may not allow self to be at all considered apart from God. Even when it seems that self and God can both be served at the same time, it must not be self in any way that spoils our service for Christ. Self is never to be the master. We are always to be the servants of the Lord Jesus. And to serve ourselves is to make ourselves masters. Turn your eyes, O my heart, to the cross of Jesus Christ and see Him bleeding there, whom heaven and earth adore. He is the light of glory, the joy and bliss of spirits made perfect. And yet He dies there in pangs that human words are unable to describe, forsaken by God and by men. He dies on the cross for me. O bleeding heart, my name was engraved upon you. O tormented brain, your thoughts were all of me. O Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord, you love me and you love me still. And that I should serve you only seems natural. That I should pray to serve you with that fervent zeal and enthusiasm is all that I can bring in thanks and praise to you. That I should give you my whole life as a living sacrifice is only right. I'm one with Christ, my Savior. Whom should the spouse serve but her husband? Whom should the hand serve but the head? It's hardly service. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and therefore we must love Him. Let a holy selfishness drive us, constrain us to love our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Surely it can be no hardness to serve Him with whom we are joined by those bands of vital union and of undying love. Jesus Christ is our head and we are His body and His fullness. Let us fill up His glory. Let us spread abroad the praises of His great name. Our lives should proclaim not unto us, O Lord, but unto Your name be glory. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not know what it means to serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your life, seek Him today. Seek Him with all of your heart and cry out to God that He will have mercy upon you, and do not rest until you rest in Him and can say, "You are my master, and I am your slave, and I delight to serve you with all of my heart, with all of my days here on earth, and for all eternity." Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. You are a faithful God. You are a faithful Savior. You've redeemed us from all the power of the devil. You've released us from bondage to sin. You've released us from being held captive by death. You've set us free from condemnation. Everlasting condemnation. Father, we belong to you, for you have made us and you have bought us with your own blood. Father, we pray that you will so work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, using your word, even the word that we have heard from you this morning. We might serve you, blessed Savior, Holy Master, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, not as pleasing men, but as pleasing you, doing your will, O God, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, because we do not serve men, but we serve the risen Savior, and looking, Father, for that eternal reward that you alone are able to give. Father, show us those places where we are serving self or sin or some other master, and turn us from it unto you. And encourage us, Father, in spite of the many discouragements that we face in this life and the many trials and difficulties that we experience. May we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is risen from the dead and seated at your right hand in power and glory forevermore. Encourage us then in our daily tasks, wherever that may be and whatever that may involve, to be your faithful servant, not lazy, but diligent. Not half-hearted, but giving you our all. And Father, we pray for those who only serve men, or who think they serve you when they only serve men. Rescue them, we pray, and set them free from the bondage in which they are held to the liberty of your children. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.